all have an obligation as Christ followers to make sure we are not by any means becoming cultural Christians. We live in a time where being a cultural Christian is very, very easy. And it's far different from biblical Christian. God has called you and I to be people that not only follow what the culture teaches, but what the Bible teaches us to do. And cultural Christianity is very predominant in our life today. It is everywhere. We see it. And I want us to have a talk this morning, some kind of a discussion together, really engaging our mind to think about this. Now, what is cultural Christianity? Cultural Christianity is the idea that I can cherry pick what I do with my relationship with Jesus. It is the idea that, you know, it's about me being comfortable. It's about rejecting or ignoring some parts of the Bible. I feel like when I come to God and I come to Jesus, I can cherry pick. I can really, if it fits me, I will do it. If I like it, I'll do it. If it fits my preference, I'll do it. Yes, I know what the Bible says, but, you know, I can do what I want, and I can choose how I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to do what I want. And so this idea that, you know, I can cherry pick and I can do whatever I want, and I begin to see the Bible as a book of suggestions. Oh, okay, I see that, but I take it as a suggestion. And that's cultural Christianity. Because you read the Bible, you hear God's word, you feel like it's a suggestion. What do we do with suggestions?
Put it in the box.
Put it in the box. What else do we do with suggestions?
Ignore them.
Ignore them, disregard them. What else?
Follow through with the suggestion.
Oh, you could follow through, okay. But what does suggestions do? They give you the idea that you have an option.
Right?
Oh, okay, I'll do it. Oh, I might not do it. So we have, in our times today, a lot of people that may be seated in churches today, I hate to say this, but operate as cultural Christians. Because we feel like what we hear of God's word or what we read is some kind of suggestions that gives us an option to say, yeah, I'll do it, or I won't do it. That's what cultural Christianity is. And we find ourselves caught up in that. The other thing is cultural Christianity entertains and receives the gospel that costs nothing. Okay? So I prefer preachers that don't point me to any price or call me to any sacrifice or call me to any dying to myself. I want to go to a church where they make me feel good and feel comfortable and pamper me and tell me I'm going to be well, rich, and blessed, and prosperous, and God's. That's all I want. I want a gospel that doesn't cost me anything. And that's very predominant today. And because we think we can cherry pick, then we feel like if it costs some, I'm not doing it. That is what cultural Christianity is. And we have to decide, okay, that's what our culture says. What does the Bible say? Cost. Jesus, when you read the Bible, Jesus put the cost of following him front and center.
Yes.
He didn't hide it. I many times, you know, hear preachers. I've had preachers sometimes when they're about to tell you the truth, they actually first preempt that with an apology. Hey, by the way, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you this. So don't want to offend you by telling you the truth. I want to apologize to make you feel good, and I'll tell you the truth. But it is, we have to understand that you have to ask yourself, which direction am I heading? Am I a person who cherry picks what God says, or am I entertaining, embracing a walk with God that costs me nothing? And we have to think about another thing about cultural Christianity is Jesus, I see him as just a free card out of hell, you know. So it's a checkbox, you know. I got my ticket to heaven, I'm good. So I can do everything else because the preacher told me if I say the prayer, I'm covered, I'm fine. He's a free card out of hell. So Jesus is simply an add-on in my life, but not the Lord. Does that make sense? I just carry him on, and I know I have him in my backpack. If I die, I just pull out the card and say, I'm in, Jesus, you know. It's like a little passport you carry. You come at the borders of heaven, you're like, I got the passport. And we have that idea of thinking that Jesus is just a free card out of hell, but not the Lord. And when you read the Bible, you see that whoever wanted to follow Jesus, just say, hey, you got to forsake all, and I got to be the Lord. Because when we're singing the song, Worthy is the Lord, it's like Jesus says, you know, if I'm not Lord, I can't be anything else because he's that all. He's all that. So we have to understand that Jesus is not simply a cut out of hell. And the other thing about cultural Christianity is the me kingdom. It's, I want to go to church, it's about me, the song's about me, the preacher's making me feel good. Everything is about me, 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 me. And if you're not here last Sunday, you can check out that message about how to shift from the me kingdom to Christ's kingdom. But here's the thing. You and I have to decide, am I going to be a biblical Christian or am I going to be a cultural Christian? I know cultural Christian ain't cool because we all know people who go to church, claim to know Jesus, but have treated us badly or treat people badly. Anybody? If they're here, don't point at them. Just let God bless your opponent. But here's the thing, there's a disconnect, you know, from what we say and what we do, and that's all built from being a cultural Christian. So I have to decide, am I going to be a cultural Christian or am I going to be a biblical Christian? You see, I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. I can't choose for my wife to be either. She can't choose for me. I make my own decision. Even when you're married, you have to decide, am I going to be a cultural Christian or am I going to be a Bible Christian? The choice is very individual. Okay? So as we've been talking about this, ladies and gentlemen, it's so important that, you know, as we've been talking about this concept of doing life together, praying for one another, encouraging one another, supporting one another, that's all Bible Christianity. Cultural Christianity is, you know, I don't have time for people. People are messy. People have issues, you know. There's a lot of drama with people. I don't have time for them, right? That's cultural Christianity. Me and Jesus, we're cool. Bible Christianity calls you into a community. Bible Christianity calls you to be part of a body. It calls you about helping, encouraging, praying, supporting, building somebody else. That is biblical Christianity. Cultural Christianity is the opposite of all that. You see, biblical Christian says, you don't cherry pick. If you struggle with something, you lay on your face and say, God, I'm struggling in this. Give me grace. Help me. Yeah. I don't want to disobey you, but I'm struggling. I'm not getting it. God, help me. But I want to do your will. It also embraces the gospel of sacrifice. Yes, it may cost me, it may be an inconvenience, but that's what biblical Christianity is. Yes, Jesus is Lord of my life, not just an add-on. It also helps me to understand that biblical Christianity is about kingdom-focused, not me-focused, okay? So that is what it is. So when we talk about helping, encouraging, supporting, building one another, it is biblical Christianity. It's not cool. It's not comfortable. How many know there's something in us that says, you know, this one another thing, man, it's getting on. This one another, maybe we need to cut back on this one another thing. Because the culture of Christians says it's too much. I don't want that one another thing. I just want a little bit of it. Not too much. But my goal, I want to be a biblical Christian. That's what I'm striving for. And I hope that we all are trying to do that. And that's what we're trying to have this conversation. So today I want us to read from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Let's talk about this. It says, brothers and sisters. So first of all, he's talking to who? Christians, right? He says, what if someone is caught in sin? Let's stop there for a second. What if somebody is caught in sin? That has the idea that you didn't just go out to sin, but you enticed and found yourself caught in sin. Now, who leads us or tempts us to sin? Come on, work with me. Let's have a talk this morning. Who tempts us to sin? Who? Satan, the devil, tempts us to sin. What's his goal when he tempts us to sin? What's the outcome? What does he want? To pull us away from Jesus, right? And possibly miss eternal life. That's his goal, right? So that's his job. Then the Bible says, then you who are guided by the Spirit should correct that person. Now, you who are guided by the Spirit should correct that person. So first of all, the first part is about the devil. The devil causes us to sin, tempts us to sin, leads us to sin. Why? Because he wants to mess up our relationship with Christ. He wants us to be pulled away. But then he tells us those who are guided by the Spirit. So what is the Spirit's role? What's the Spirit's goal? What is the Spirit's agenda? What is the Spirit trying to do?
Restoration.
Restore us. The devil is trying to do what? And the Holy Spirit is trying to do what? Now, let's work this again. The devil is trying to do what? And the Spirit is trying to? So the Spirit is trying to bring us back. With Jesus, the devil is trying to destroy us. Now, watch this. Then, brothers and sisters, what if someone is caught in sin? Then the Spirit should correct that person. Is that what it says? Does it say the Spirit should correct that person? Those who are what? So in this picture, God is bringing us in. How many know he could have said, brother, so what if someone is going to sin, the Spirit would correct that person. There'll be nothing wrong with that. We'd all say, yes, amen. Right? But he didn't say that. He said, those who are guided by the Spirit. What is God saying? He's saying that now you have a choice to be part of what I'm doing. The devil's job is to draw us away from Jesus, cause us to sin, separate us from God. The Spirit's job is to draw us back to Jesus, unite us with God. But then he says, look, you have a choice in this. You have a part to play. That's what he says, those who are guided by the Spirit. Amen. So if I'm guided by the Spirit, then I'm playing on the team of the Spirit. Are you following me? Yes. So I have a part to play in restoring my brother. I have a part to play in restoring my sister. Well, it is not just the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You have a part to play.
Yes.
Do you see that? So God, now you have to decide, am I going to be on the devil's team, which is I'm going to do nothing about your sinful life or about your issues. I'm going to do nothing. How many know doing nothing is doing something except what you did was nothing? Right? But I can be on his team, on the Lord's team, on the Spirit's team, and say, I'm going to come in partnership with the Holy Spirit concerning a brother or a sister. So you choose what team you play on, but if you want to play by God's team, on his team, then you have to say, Lord, I'm willing to be part of restoring somebody else. And it says, do it in a gentle way. In other words, do it in love. Do it in care. Don't come hard on somebody. Do it in love, but be careful you could be tempted too. In other words, we're all prone to being tempted. No one of us is exempt. But here's the thing. How am I going to, check this out. How am I going to be used by the Spirit to restore a brother if I'm not connected to the brother? How am I going to be on his team to restore somebody to Christ if I'm not connected enough to know that they may be in error or sliding away? In other words, for me to be able to restore somebody back to God, there's a sense of connection I have to have with them so that the Holy Spirit can use that. So it's important that, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing greater you can do with your life than helping somebody else come in contact with Jesus. Amen. There's nothing more significant than that. There's nothing more important in your life than helping somebody be united with Jesus. Amen. That is forever eternally secured. It is the greatest thing you could ever do with your life. Nothing else is more important than that. Now, here's what the Bible says. As we do that in verse 2, it says, carry each other's heavy loads. If you do, you give the law of Christ is for many. Now think about that. Carry each other's loads or carry each other's burden. If I'm not connected to you and I'm doing me, I'm not letting anyone in my life, I'm going to close my doors of my life. I don't want no community. I don't want no connection. I don't want to do it. How am I going to carry anyone's load? But the Bible says, carry each other's burden. Why? Because every one of us got load limits.
Amen.
Have you ever gone to an elevator and you got in and you're like, we are full, but two other people squeeze themselves in? And you're like, we're full, but they still push themselves in? If you're like me, you look on that sign that says, load limits of how many people should be in this elevator. Ever notice that? It says, okay, the max load limit is 1,500 pounds. You're like, oh, there were more than 1,500 pounds in this place. Even that has a limit. Even your car has a load limit. Even the chase has a load limit. Even when God created, we have load limits. And God knew that. He says, you know, you're in this life, and life is going to throw things at you, but sometimes they're going to be beyond your limit. So you need to be in community with somebody else. You need to be connected with others. You need to open up your life to other people so that when those loads come on you, somebody else can help you carry your load.
Amen.
This is in the Bible. This is biblical Christianity. They're like, hey, man, Pastor, I don't know about carrying people's load. I got my own loads. Have you ever been in a place where you tried to forget yourself and help somebody else, and you felt so good, even though you had your own struggles, but because you helped somebody else, it just brought you a lot of relief. Have you felt that way? I don't know how it works, but that's how it works. And sometimes when you just overlook your own load and help somebody else's load, your load gets lifted.
Amen.
So he says, carry each other's heavy loads. But how am I going to carry my brother's load if I'm not connected? How am I going to honor that scripture if I'm not connected with anybody? Now, carrying each other's load doesn't mean I'm going to carry it and put it on me. Then now I'm loaded. But what if that's beyond my limit now? That's not the point. I carry each other's load and I bring it to the cross. And I bring it to Jesus on behalf of my brother, on behalf of my sister. I know their Lord, and I can bring it to the Lord. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. What does it say? It says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares. Let me ask you, what if you load something beyond its limit? What happens? It breaks, doesn't it? Do you know we have a lot of broken people in life? Do you know there's a lot of people that are broken because what they carry, they can't bear it? There's a lot of people that are in depression or suicidal, want to take their lives because the load they're carrying is too much and they feel like no one is there to carry that load with them. Now, of course, there's also the scientific part of that where it's, you know, hormones and chemicals and all that that are out of balance. But there's a lot of it that is just a spiritual issue.
Amen.
That the devil has loaded people over their limit. And now they're in a situation where they're just like, I'm breaking because I can't carry this.
Amen.
But here's what God tells us. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But have you ever been so emotionally distraught that you couldn't even pray? Like you're too, like it's too heavy. It's not that you don't believe prayer. It's not that you don't believe in God. But it's too much that you can't even cast it. Does that make sense? It's too heavy. Casting means some ability to throw away, to lift it. But sometimes you can't. That's why it's important to carry each other's burden. Because if you ever get in a place where it's too heavy for you, there's somebody else there to do it with you. Somebody there to pray with you. Somebody there to help you cast that anxiety on the Lord. Come on, church. This is why we do community. This is why we're talking about what God is telling us to do. Cast all your anxiety. But sometimes you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You need somebody else.
Amen.
There are many people today that would be doing differently in their lives if they just felt connected to somebody else. They just felt it wasn't just showing up to church for 90 minutes and that was it. But there was more to that. There was more to that. There was more prayer. There was more support. There was more encouragement. There's more biblical Christianity that, yes, maybe uncomfortable, but yes, there's something more. There are many people who would be doing differently. But a lot of times, people are breaking because they don't feel that real sense of connection together. So let's go back to the next verse. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking what? Someone. That is singular. Someone. He's not seeking them. He's seeking somebody. Why? Because his job is to isolate you. Make you closed off. Make you feel like you don't need community. You don't need to connect. You don't need to be caught up in this whole thing of connecting and praying with each other and texting with them. I don't need that. I don't have time for that. He wants you to feel like you don't have, because he wants you isolated, because he's looking for someone. Have you ever seen the Animal Channel and the lion, the prey, is going after the giraffes? Oh, no, not the giraffes, but maybe giraffes are too tall. But when it was going after a buffalo or going after some, yeah, right? What does he try to do? Isolate, try to find that little that's running by himself and separate him from the pack, and then he can prey on him.
Yes.
What is the devil trying to do? How is the devil going to devour God's people? By destroying the sense of connection. By driving us to be individuals. That driving us into this sense of isolation, of being me and being me focused and not being community. Because then now the Holy Spirit can't use me to help somebody else. Nor can I help somebody else, and I can't be helped either because I'm alone. How many know a lot of people get deceived because they're alone? And a lot of people that have done destructive things is because it began with a lie the devil told them, but they had nobody to connect with so that somebody could dispel the lie. Then they took the lie as truth. And the devil's lie destroyed their lives because they were isolated. So here's what we need to know. The Bible says, be sober-minded. In other words, when you don't feel like connecting, be sober. Why don't I feel like connecting? Why don't I feel like praying with somebody? Why don't I feel like engaging with others? Be watchful. Why? Because you have an enemy. I have an enemy. Just because you slept good last night doesn't take the devil away. Just because you had food this morning, it doesn't take the devil. The devil is still there. Your adversary, the devil, is looking around seeking someone to devour. But I have to make sure that I'm looking out for my brother, looking out for my brother, so that we are not devoured. How many know that I know people that have turned their back on God?
Oh, yeah.
Because Maybe I wasn't connected enough. I didn't do enough job. Maybe I could have helped. Maybe I could have been more engaged. But here's the thing, friends. We're seeing what the Bible is telling us is being connected to one another. Now, we go back to Hebrews. Let me go back to that scripture in Hebrews chapter. It says, by this, when I carry each other's load, I fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ?
Love one another.
That is the greatest commandment. Now, in order to fulfill that, I have to do what? Be able to carry. Now, before we get that, how many know that if I don't carry your burden and you don't carry my burden, there are many ways that people deal with burdens besides way God is telling us to deal with burdens. One, they deny it. If I don't have anybody to connect with, somebody that I know they help me in my walk with God, I have my burdens, but I'm just going to deny them. I'm just going to operate like they don't exist. I'm just going to ignore them. I'm just going to fake it till I make it. I'm just going to just not even pay attention to it. But the point is, the more you deny your Lord, your burden, it's going to catch up with you.
Amen.
Because it didn't go away. It is still there. So it becomes a coping mechanism. You just cope with it, but you know it's still there. And it's going to destroy you. Think like, if I can just avoid it and not think about it, it's going to go away. No, it doesn't. You see, other people will say, well, maybe I just procrastinate it. I'll deal with it later. I'm going to push it. I know I got a problem. I know I got issues. But you know what? I'm going to push the envelope. I'm going to see how far I can go before I really get some help. I'm going to push it. I'm just going to keep pushing it. Well, I'll deal with it later. Yes, I need help, but I'll deal with it later. I'll get it later. Why? Because I'm just going to procrastinate. Because I don't want to deal with it now. How else do people deal with burdens? The other thing people do is medicate. I got a burden, so I'm going to put some medication on it. I mean, I'm going to drink some. I'm going to use some. I'm going to smoke some. I'm going to eat some. I'm going to do all that. I'm going to try to medicate my burden. This is what the world says. This is how we've done it. But Jesus said, carry each other's burden. But when I don't feel like I can connect with anybody to help me carry my burden, then we're going to drift back to that. I'm going to do that. But all that fails. Because medicating it by eating some, drinking some, smoking some, doing whatever is not going to take your burdens away.
Amen.
So this is why the Bible tells us that if I carry your burden, I fulfill the law of Christ, which is love one another. Love one another. That is the greatest law. Now, in order for me to really want to carry any other's burdens, I have to make sure that Jesus is the treasure of my life. Christ has to be the treasure of my life. You see, when Jesus is the treasure of your life, then it matters what he says.
Yeah, it's true.
If Christ is not the treasure of my life, guess what? His law don't weigh that much in my heart.
Amen.
What he says don't mean that much in my life because he's not the treasure of my life. But when Jesus is the treasure of my life, then what he says matters to me. His word matters to me. His law means something to me. And because of the treasure of my life, then doing what he wants me to do matters. So I'm not going to carry anybody's burden until Jesus is the treasure of my life, that then I care about fulfilling his law by caring about somebody else. If I am the treasure of my life, guess what? That doesn't mean much to me because Jesus ain't the treasure of my life. I am the treasure of my life. I'm more concerned about me, doing me, my time, what's comfortable to me, what fits my personality, what fits my life, what fits my schedule, what is comfortable for me. That's what I'm doing. Well, if that's what I'm doing, then I'm the center of my life. And whatever Jesus says doesn't weigh that much. You see, you work at a company, and I don't work at that company. But do you know, I care less what your company rules are.
Amen.
Because I don't work there. I don't have any contractual relationship with your company. I don't have to show up when you show up. I don't have to do whatever they say you gotta do. Why? Because I don't get the benefits they give you.
Amen.
I don't get the paycheck they give you. But you have to. And you do that. So brothers here are supervisors and managers, right? Some of you who are supervisors and managers, what do you expect of your employees? To do what you ask them of to do. If they don't do what you tell them to do, you write them up, fire them, because they're not doing what you tell them. But they're obligated to do. They're obligated to do because they're in a contractual relationship with a company. You expect them to do a job, and they expect you to reward them because you're in a relationship with them. The only reason why somebody else is not obligated to do any of your company's bidding is because they're not in a contractual relationship. The only reason why somebody would not care to fulfill the law of Christ because you're not in a covenant relationship with Jesus. But when I'm in a covenant relationship with Jesus, and I know that he carried a burden I can carry on the cross for me, and I understand he gave me life I didn't deserve. He died a gruesome death he didn't deserve so I could have life I didn't deserve. To understand that he wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life just because of our mercy out of grace. He gave me his spirit, called me his own, and he's called me his child and give me eternal life. And now I'm in a covenant relationship with him. I'm obligated to do his bidding. I don't have a choice. Even if I have to choose, I choose to do his bidding because if I obey him, it's going to lead me to a blessed life of doing what he wants me to do.
Amen.
But I am in a covenant relationship where Jesus is the treasure of my life because I've gained a glimpse of understanding what he has done for me.
Amen.
He's got my life. So if I'm in a covenant relationship with him, then doing his bidding will matter to me. But if you find struggle to say, you know, I don't want to care about anybody, pray for anybody, encourage anybody, do life with anybody, because I have too much of me, then you have to ask yourself, who is the treasure of your life? Because imagine showing up on Monday at your job like, you know, boss, I don't have to do what you tell me to do today. I'm going to get in the lunch room, take a nap. Yeah, and I take lunch whenever I want. I come in whenever I want, leave whenever I want. Is that how we roll? Can that happen? No. But how many do that with Jesus? Jesus, I roll in when I can. Give when I can, obey you when I can, do that when I can, pray when I feel like it, read the Bible when I can, do that when I can, go to church when I can, and when I feel it, you know, I'm just...
Come on.
It goes back to, who are you obligated to? Who are you in a covenant relationship with? Is it Christ? Is it you? Right? So I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil is totally against us doing life together. He's totally against us connecting, praying together. Current. You ever notice, like, maybe some of you groups say, oh, we're going to pray on this day, and all hell breaks loose. Stuff comes up. You have good intentions.
Yes.
You actually say, we'll call in and pray together on Thursday. good intentions. Then the devil's like, not on my watch. Then I'm praying because that's against what I want for him. And I'm like, yeah, this came up, that came up. I can't do it tonight. Why do you think you're finding problems praying together? Why do you think you're finding it challenging to connect? Why do you think you find it hard to another text message, another phone call? It's an inconvenience, you know. You know, right now, I've been working too hard. I've been busy today. All I want tonight is just sit on my couch and watch some Netflix. I really don't feel like calling, connecting, praying. You know, I just don't feel it now. What do you think that's going on? Because we have an enemy that is going to make sure we don't connect, we don't pray together, encourage each other, support each other. I know, guys, that this is hard. I know it's uncomfortable. But if Jesus, following Jesus, is not uncomfortable, then we might not be following him. If following Jesus is not costing us anything, we might not be following him. Because if you're truly following Jesus, it's going to cost. It's going to cost, because that's what the Bible teaches. And I know where we are and where the first early church was in times of Christians. We're like thousands of miles apart. Like if you read the Bible and you see how the early church operated, how they encourage one another, support, pray for one another, build one. And where we are, we're thousands of miles apart. But it doesn't mean we can't do anything about it. We can start doing something about it. I know this week when you have to connect, it's going to feel uncomfortable. You may feel like you want to do something else. You may feel like you don't have time for your brothers and sisters. You're like, hey, no. You may feel like that, but it doesn't matter what you feel. Jesus is the treasure of your life, and he's called us to do life together, carry each other's burden, fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes we just have to do what's uncomfortable. Why? Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11. In order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Amen. The devil is a schemer. So you may sit here on a Sunday and like, oh, our group, we're going to do this week, and we're going to do that this week. They're like, I'm going to scheme, right? So you're five people. I got a scheme for number one. I got a scheme for number two. I got a scheme for number three. I got a scheme for number four. Next thing you know, everybody's been schemed. And nobody's in. Y'all being quiet on me. Isn't that what happens, ladies and gentlemen? Yes. So the Bible says we are not aware of his schemes. So let's embrace doing things that are uncomfortable, out of our comfort zone. Because it may be a burden, but he has called us to carry the burden. If any man desires to follow me, let him do what?
Take up his cross.
Before you take up the cross, you have to do what?
Deny yourself.
How cool is that? Deny yourself, carry your cross. Yeah.